Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Hope everybody had an amazing Labor Day weekend. We got a lot to catch up on today. You may notice the audio is a little bit different and we might have a little bit of background noise. I am recording in a cabin in northern Minnesota and we've got kind of a windy day here today. But as I tweeted over the weekend, I am taking advantage of a brand new Starlink setup here. So kind of cool. We'll be uploading Tesla Daily today via Starlink. So as I said, we've got a whole bunch to catch up on. We've got some new comments from Elon Musk on the stock, updates on Giga Berlin, Fremont, some Tesla energy news, charging news, etc., etc. So let's jump right into it with a quick look at the stock. Tesla starting off the week today pretty strong, finishing up 2.6% to $752.92. That compared to the NASDAQ up 0.1% on the day. The Dow and the S&P 500 were both down. For our first story here, we've got some more leaked details from Elon Musk. You may remember that we did that quick live stream on Friday evening to discuss those leaked conference call details. Well, now we have a leaked email from Elon Musk that surfaced over this weekend. I believe this was first shared out by Alan Chen on Twitter, but since has been validated, confirmed with other sources. So it's an email from Elon Musk to the entire Tesla organization with the title of, quote, "If we execute really well, I agree with ARK Invest," end quote. The body of the article then just links to a Tesmanian article about ARK Invest confirming their base case $3,000 per share Tesla price target for 2025. And then, of course, they do have their range from 1,500 bear case up to 4,000 bull case. And, of course, many other outcomes based on their Monte Carlo simulation, so some even above that $4,000 level. If you have any doubts about the authenticity of the email still, well, Elon Musk did also like the tweet to this article from Tesmanian. So Elon Musk here basically saying, hey, if Tesla executes really well by 2025, it could be a $3 trillion company. That would be currently the most valuable company in the world. Who knows by 2025? And that could mean about 4 times upside from today's share price. I don't have the quote handy, but if you've been following Elon Musk's comments on robotaxis, I think he said something like it would be the most profound economic driver ever, something along those lines. And then you pair that with his thoughts on the most recent advancement there with FSD Beta 10, which hopefully we'll see at the end of this week. Then it should be really no surprise that Elon believes that if Tesla executes well, that they should eventually get to this sort of evaluation, and I would fully agree. For me, this does bring to mind something we've been talking about a bit recently, and that is Elon Musk's compensation plan. We all expect that to kind of expire next year sometime. So then we're left with the open question of if Elon Musk gets another compensation plan, or if he takes more of a diminished role in Tesla. And I think for me, with what I've seen from Tesla at AI Day, all of the potential with the Tesla bot, and then these comments from Elon Musk about where the valuation could eventually go, I think to me it's looking a little bit more likely like we might see a third Elon Musk compensation plan. I certainly hope that we do, and I would love to see something structured around hitting a valuation in that multi-trillion dollar level, hopefully even a little bit higher than $3 trillion as would be suggested by that base case ARK price target. Obviously, we've got a ton of very interesting things lining up for next year, but I think that compensation plan, what happens there, is very high on that list as well. All right, next up, and kind of rounding out the leaked details portion of the episode. So we've got another update here from Electrek on something that was shared in that conference call last week. And this is from Elon apparently saying that, quote, "This month will be the craziest month for deliveries Tesla will ever have," end quote. So bear in mind that that tweet might not be exactly precise. This is probably from an employee listening to the call. Maybe they weren't transcribing it exactly at that moment. Maybe they're just repeating what they heard or what they thought they heard. Could be right, could be wrong. Elon may have said this will be the craziest month that Tesla will have ever had, which would actually not be very surprising and changes the context there quite a bit. Anyway, the craziness all stems from September being the last month of the quarter and Tesla still using delivery waves because they don't have localized production in every region right now. So Berlin's going to help a lot with that, and even Texas to some extent should help with North American deliveries, which itself is probably experiencing a bit of a wave. And I know a lot of people have seen their delivery estimates kind of change around. I'm guessing that's part of why that's been happening. As for the craziest month ever, well, I don't know. I think Q4's got a pretty good shot at taking that, even with a little bit of production coming from Texas and Berlin, if that happens. But regardless, you're still going to have a wave. You're going to have more deliveries in Q4, and you got to deal with in December holidays. So good chance I think that is a little bit crazier of a month for Tesla. Speaking of Giga Berlin, we got an update this weekend from Der Tagesspiegel about the amount of funding Tesla may receive for Giga Berlin's battery factory. We already knew and have discussed that Tesla was likely eligible for some amount of funding. We didn't really know the amount. Looks like Der Tagesspiegel has found that to be 1.135 billion euros, an amount which is not yet confirmed. But, quote, "According to Tagesspiegel information, this 1.135 billion funding for Tesla by the BMWI has been coordinated with all those involved and is ready for approval," end quote. This would apparently be to support up to about 2,000 jobs, and they also write that, quote, "In addition, according to Tagesspiegel Research, Tesla's billions in investment in the new battery cell factory in Grünheide are significantly higher than known," end quote. Now, I think we kind of already all knew that because of the comments that have been made in various places, including by Jörg Steinbach. Publicly, Tesla has said they're targeting about 500,000 from Giga Berlin, but it looks like they're actually targeting up to about 2 million vehicles per year at some point. From drone flyover videos, too, it looks like we've got some movement on battery manufacturing equipment for Berlin. There's some new photos of these five different machines, which consensus right now seems to be that they are chillers for water for battery manufacturing. Very exciting to see that sort of stuff start to appear on site, but we do need to keep in mind that Tesla has said that one of the advantages of their higher cash position right now is that they can buy equipment ahead of time to hopefully remove any constraints from ramping production when that does actually start to happen. So seeing those chillers on site doesn't necessarily give us a whole lot of insight into a production timeline. Next year, kind of a crazy story related to the FSD beta. This video surfaced on a YouTube channel by the name of Dr. Elon of FSD beta 8.2 running in the Ukraine. Apparently, some customer there was able to somehow hack in and get access to that version. Obviously, 8.2 is a while back, but they showed a video of it operating there on the streets of Ukraine. So it's certainly not perfect. I mean, 8.2 not perfect in the US either, but it is able to drop in there and still be utilized, do things like take left turns at intersections, drive down single lane, bidirectional roads, things of that sort. So kind of cool to see it operating in a jurisdiction that we normally wouldn't see it in. Obviously, Tesla will have to do some different work for each individual region, but hopefully this kind of helps demonstrate the strength of the overall strategy that Tesla is pursuing. As for the whole hacking situation, obviously anytime there's that in a headline, that raises security risks, but I would just note that hacking and being able to download a different version of firmware is a very different thing than something that would be a lot more concerning, which would be, let's say, hacking into somebody else's vehicle and somehow being able to control their vehicle. Just a very different set of security for those things. Nevertheless, hopefully this will highlight a vulnerability for Tesla that they can then improve on for the future. Elon did like a tweet about this situation from Holmars, so he doesn't seem to be all that terribly concerned. Next, we've got an update on a Tesla energy project, so we'll hop over to the UK. Bloomberg is reporting that construction has now started for what will become the UK's largest energy storage project. They say it'll be capable of 99 megawatts of power for 2 hours, so we can do the nice math on that. That gets us to 198 megawatt hours of energy storage. Kind of a longer timeline than what we have seen for some of these other projects in the past. It looks like this is scheduled to be completed sometime in early 2023. Couple of other quick hitter stories here. First, we'll move over to Fremont, where Tesla Roddy has noticed that Tesla has actually filed for an expansion with the city of Fremont for General Assembly Line 4.5. So this is the most recent permanently installed General Assembly Line for the Model Y. So despite a lot of the chatter that we have been hearing about Tesla reducing their investments in Fremont, potentially shutting that down eventually, looks like at least at this current point in time, Tesla is continuing to expand, albeit probably in a relatively small way, there in Fremont. What is expanding faster than ever is Tesla's supercharger network. So earlier this year, we talked about Tesla ramping up a factory to produce superchargers in Shanghai, targeting production of 10,000 version 3 superchargers per year. Well, the Global Times is reporting that Tesla has now completed that factory. Doesn't mean that it's at full production rate yet, but from start to finish would have taken about 7 months to build that out. Separately, Tesla China also released a video of, I guess, sort of an advertisement explaining the benefits of the supercharger network there in China. The other update that we have out of China is on regulatory credits. So we previously talked about this marketplace opening up for regulatory credits sometime in August, and we thought that that might allow Tesla to book an additional $400 million or so of regulatory credit sales in Q3. Looks like we've got a more concrete number for that now, and that would be $329 million. But I have been discussing this today with James Stevenson on Twitter. Great follow, would recommend. And we kind of came to the conclusion based on some comments Tesla's made in previous earnings calls that Tesla already accounted for this because they are credits earned on vehicles sold in 2020 and then has just been sitting in accounts receivable. So long story short, if that is correct, which it may not be, but that's what we're thinking, then this $329 million would not be accretive to Tesla's earnings in Q3. So I know we've talked about this before, but I think we've now got a little bit more clarity on those credits. Last two Tesla items here. First, we do have an update on that Texas Tesla crash back in April. We had talked a lot about this. Remember, this is where the constable there had claimed that he was sure that this car was driverless. Of course, later on, it was shown that auto steer was not active in this vehicle. So that driverless suggestion obviously doesn't add up. And now we have autopsy reports that have been obtained by Bloomberg, which shows that the presumed driver did have a blood alcohol level 2 times above the legal limit in Texas. So with all these new details, very disappointing in terms of how that crash was covered. I think the damage from that coverage can't really be undone, despite a lot of missing details, obviously, in that original report and just inaccurate comments there immediately by law enforcement. So I guess the best that you can hope for there is some lessons learned. The last Tesla-specific item then, just kind of throwing this in here because I know we'll see a lot of comments on it today if I don't talk about it, but I can't verify this, but we did see a tweet here from the supposed account of a multi-billionaire by the name of Leo Koguan, who is apparently buying 1 million shares of Tesla, may have bought them today, not clear, which would obviously be a very significant investment for an individual to make. So maybe we'll get some more official reporting on that in the coming days. If any of that buying did happen today, that could have been part of the reason for the stock's performance on the day. Again, that's not verified. I think it's probably more likely to be accurate than not, but we'll keep an eye out for any more information on that. Lastly, then, we've got a couple of industry updates to wrap up with. First, Toyota has updated their electric vehicle plans for 2030. They now plan to sell 8 million electrified vehicles annually in 2030, 2 million of those to be fully powered by batteries or fuel cells. So both just targets at this point in time, but Toyota's target there for EV production for 2030, less than a tenth of what Tesla is targeting. Toyota looks to continue to believe in the diversity of powertrains. Even in the announcement today, they talked about hybrid electric vehicles, defending that by saying that the amount of batteries that they've put into hybrids would only be enough for about 260,000 pure electric vehicles, and that by instead putting them into hybrids, they believe they've achieved emissions reductions that are equivalent to 5.5 million battery electric vehicles, which, as we've gone through before, I would definitely argue with. They also continue to make comments and bet on solid-state batteries, but they say they're still working on what materials to use. To me, not the most inspiring comments there. I think Toyota will continue to lag behind in EVs. The other item then is that GM late last week did announce that they'll be shutting down production at a significant number of their North American facilities due to chip shortages. In the meantime, they'll continue to make their full-size SUVs, heavy-duty pickup trucks, obviously their profit centers, and unfortunately their heaviest emissions vehicles too. I do kind of wonder if actions like that continue to be taken, if that would affect the regulatory credit market at all this year. So that should about do it for today. Just a quick heads up that Netflix has released the first portion of its docuseries on the SpaceX Inspiration 4 mission, which will be the first spaceflight to orbit the Earth with only private citizens on board. So just wanted to pass that along if you are interested, but as I said, that'll wrap it up. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, September 8th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.